Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius Ready, XM go? Channel Ready. 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Big budget cuts and changes could be on the way for Metro. Metro General Manager Paul Wiedefeld is proposing the elimination of weekend rail service, slashing some 2,400 positions, closing 19 stations, and freezing pay for workers. The budget shortfall for Metro stands at $500 million. It's just a proposal, but what could this mean for workers, the system, and for the hundreds of thousands who use the system daily? Well, we're talking to union chiefs tonight about the issue here and across the nation. My guests are John Costa, International President of the Amalgamated Transit Union, and Ray Jackson, President and Business Agent of Local 689 of the Amalgamated Transit Union. We also want to hear from our listeners. If you take the subway, if you use Metro, I want to hear what you think. Lines are open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Mr. Costa and Mr. Jackson, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. And Mr. Costa, can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. So let me first start with you, Mr. Costa. This is not a situation that is specifically related to the DMV, the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia region. This is a national problem. The news coming out of Capitol Hill tonight, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell rejecting a bipartisan bridge bill, some $908 billion, which would include about $15 billion in transportation funding. No idea how much of that would go to Metro, but obviously some of it would. Your thoughts about this late news, Mr. Costa?
Shameful. Shameful that we're in a situation like this where people today don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, fearful of the future. And with this crisis going on, this is the way our representatives just are taking a position of doing nothing and letting everybody, just fear for themselves, and it's shameful.
To that further point, can you kind of give me an idea of what's happening nationally when it comes to transportation systems like Metro, whether it is in, you know, San Francisco or New York or in Dallas? What's happening? Are they all experiencing the same kind of deficit?
Well, yes. Since the shutdown, revenue has been at a halt, all the big agencies are in a fiscal crisis. But some are doing other things. I mean, some are borrowing money at a very cheap interest rate to keep their economy going and waiting to get through this. Others are thinking outside the box. I mean, there's a lot of capital money that is out here that apparently is not going to be used. I mean, if you're talking service cuts and the ridership isn't where it was, we're not going to be building anything that quick, buildings, rail systems, extensions. They're talking about cutting services, as you said in the beginning. So therefore, there is a lot of capital money out here that can be utilized and tapped into. And I think we could talk about tapping into that money and offsetting operating expense to this is over with until Congress or the new administration and Biden gets in there and with his administration and hopefully fixes this and we get the funding to bail us out of this mess. Because if not, as you said, what are people going to do? What are the streets going to look like? What are the highways going to look like? Well, so they're all dealing with different situations. And I think this is what needs to be done. I think we need to talk about there is money, other money out there, not to mention that Congress needs to act and act quicker than later.
Mr. Jackson, I'm obviously you heard about Paul Wiedefeld's proposal. This is just a proposal. If it were to take place, it probably would not happen until next year. But your thoughts about the realities of where Metro is right now under the guise of this proposal?
I mean, I have to be honest. I know it's just a proposal, but to me, it's a shameful proposal. I have a pretty decent working relationship with Paul Wiedefeld. I'm not in agreement with this proposal at all. I say to anyone and everyone, I've spoken to most of the politicians in this region from Virginia, D.C. and Maryland. I think that it's shameful to even be considering laying off any of the transit workers. And I say all the time that, you know, no slight to police officers or anyone else in this country, but right now I believe that a bus operator had the most dangerous job in this country, because every day they're on a bus or a train operator on a train with hundreds of people who may be positive with this virus. I mean, and when I say that, a police officer knows when he gets a call that he's going into a dangerous situation, it's a shooting. Right now, today, a bus operator doesn't know that that person who just walked past them on that bus is positive or negative. So what I often say, one, is this. How do you even think about laying off the essential workers who get the rest of the essential workers to work? We're the ones who take the doctors and the nurses and even the custodians who have to clean up the hospital. We're the ones who are getting those people to work. Why is there even a thought about laying off these essential workers? I think that this region needs to do what it needs to do to keep this system up and running.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about proposed cuts to the Metro system. And we are talking to John Costa, International President of the Amalgamated Transit Union, and Ray Jackson, President and Business Agent of Local 689 of the Amalgamated Transit Union. If you have a comment, if you have a question, if you ride the buses, if you are on the subway, how do you feel about it right now? Since we are in the midst of a pandemic, I'd like to hear from you. Again, lines are open at 202-319-7810. So I want to talk a little bit about where we are, and certainly either of you can chime in, but I'll ask Mr. Jackson first. Metro was in dire straits pre-COVID, and Metro has had financial issues for many, many years, and they've been exacerbated by the shutdown. If not this proposal, what do you suggest, Mr. Jackson?
So I'm going to beg to differ with you on some of that statement. actually, Metro ridership was actually going up pre-COVID. You know, it was actually... we were actually seeing an increase in riders. Now, as far as the stations being closed, I mean, over time, there were things that should have been done that wasn't being done. And, you know, if you let your house fall apart and then say, okay, now I have to fix my house, well, you didn't let it fall apart to the point now you have to take drastic steps in getting it repaired. And I think that's what you're seeing when the authority has these shutdowns pre-COVID. You're seeing them trying to catch up on work that should have been done all the time. But I think that, well, I know for a fact that the ridership was actually increasing, you know, before this pandemic hit.
But this shortfall, this $500 million deficit didn't just happen last year. This has been an issue that has been going on for many, many years, and we have constantly seen a rise in the fees to ride the system, you know, and the like. And so, as I said, you know, from your perspective, if not this proposal, what do you suggest to help prevent any kinds of, you know, cutbacks, possible layoffs and the like?
So one of the things I think, you know, and some people probably would disagree, but along all the routes in this city, in this region, wherever you built the station, you look at the economy around that station, that economy blew up. Mm-hmm. I think that now it's time for us to go back and reach out to some of the people who has been benefiting from the station and ask them to step up and give us a hand. You know, you can go to like a Ted Leon's and the Wizards, the Capitals. I mean, look at Mass Stadium and everything that's going on around there. And even just because Amazon is coming in. You know, you can go to some of these multi-billionaires and seek help. Matter of fact, I have asked one of my assistants to even reach out to them for help. I mean, we help them every time that there's a game, and although we're getting paid for our service, you know, when the Nats needed the system to stay open late, it was the Metro workers who stood up and stayed at work a few hours extra to make sure that those people got home when the Nats won the World Series. Whenever something, an event is going on in this town, Local 689 stand up. So one of the ways that I see where we may be able to get some help is to go to these people now, these same people who has been benefiting off of this system, and ask them for some help.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about Metro and proposed cuts to the system that may include the elimination of weekend subways, that may be slashing some 2,400 positions and closing 19 stations and freezing pay for workers. What do you think? Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Mr. Costa, in this particular region, and maybe you can speak, you know, more broadly about other systems, but D.C., Maryland, Virginia have historically been contributors to the financial stability of the Metro system. Well, now, because of the pandemic, all financial resources have turned to keeping these regions safe, you know, well outside of the transportation system. What do you say to those who are saying, you know, is there any other way other than this kind of cut, this kind of proposal?
Yes, Harold. It's time we change the regs. I mean, you can't do operating assistance. The federal government, the money that they allow to the agencies to operate at 10% of their operating assistance, they need to change that. I mean, they're dumping a load of money and capital and don't care about it and having all this capital money. But what good is having all these new buses, new trains, if we don't have bodies to put in them to move them or into the buildings to turn the lights on? It's time the regs have to change. We have to look at things differently. And I think this pandemic's going to put that in play here. And as I said earlier, I think that Paul actually made a statement about capital money. And if I'm not mistaken, there's about $160 million that can be used from the capital budget for operations. you know, but, you know, they're not allowed to do that. They have to. So government has to change the regs. The service is for the people. It's time to help the people.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about Metro and a proposal of to eliminate weekend rail service and slash more than 2,000 positions for Metro and a couple of other things to help keep this system afloat. We're going to continue having this conversation in just a bit, so please stay with us. If you're on the line, LaShawn calling from Washington, D.C., stay with us. We're going to be talking to you next. Lines are still open. We'll take phone calls up until 8 o'clock, of course, at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, channel 141. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation will continue in just a few seconds. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about proposed cuts to the D.C. region's metro system. My guests are John Costa, International President of the Amalgamated Transit Union, and Ray Jackson, President and Business Agent of Local 689 of the Amalgamated Transit Union in the DMV. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. I want to hear from you. What do you think about where we are right now with Metro in the midst of the pandemic? What should be done to save it? LaShawn calling from Washington, D.C. Thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Hi, I'd like to comment on Metro.
Please do.
To whoever the powers that be are, please do everything you can to keep Metro open. It's the heartbeat of D.C. If all else fails, we have Metro. Mm-hmm.
Do you ride Metro? Do you use it?
Yes. I work downtown, and I use Metro.
Mm-hmm. Have you had any concerns about using it during the course of the pandemic? I'm sure that you, like so many other people, are, you know, masked up and the like.
Yes, I do have concerns. However, everyone that's riding Metro can take precaution.
Okay. Well, LaShawn, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I think, you know, Mr. Jackson, I think that LaShawn is echoing the feelings of a lot of people who ride Metro, who depend on Metro. But what might a weekend shutdown mean to riders?
Well, not just the riders, but the economy in this region, you know. I mean, some of the stores and the restaurants downtown are still open, even if it's open for carryout. And most of the people, especially what we like to say, east of the river, they depend on this system. You know, they depend on the buses. And the best thing that ever happened was to put a station over in Anacostia so that now they can really move about the city the way that they needed to. And I think that those are the people who would be most affected by shutting the system down on the weekend. What you're telling people is now you have to find another way or another means of transportation to get to work. And then once you do that, I think in the long run, Metro will really be hurting itself, because once you give somebody else an alternative, it's hard to get them back from that alternative. I remember being in the sixth grade over in Northeast, and, you know, when they opened up the Orange Line at Minnesota Avenue, it was a school trip for us. That was years ago. I'm giving my age now, but that was a school trip for us. I mean, we have a beautiful system here. It's a shame that this pandemic hit, but I think that you're going to hurt the people who need the system the most. I think that we need to get another plan.
Mm-hmm. I just got a tweet from Michael Thompson, and he asks, what about rail station managers of WMATA? He says, we are frontline employees as well. He continues to write, I feel slighted being as though we're not being mentioned in the same breath as fellow bus and train operators. Does he have a point?
Yes, he does. He has a very valid point, you know, and we often do leave out our station managers. You know, those are the unsung heroes at Metro, you know, because we always speak about the train and the buses, but we never speak about the people who work in the stations, who assist the people that's getting on those trains, you know. I mean, we think about the everyday passengers who know our system, but even the tourists who comes in, our station managers are our front line when you start speaking about going into our subway system. The first person you're going to meet is a station manager. Mm-hmm. So he is right to that point. I mean, I hold them, although I didn't mention it in the opening, that they're right there with the train operators, the bus operators, and we even have custodians who put themselves on the front line every day to make sure that the system stay clean. I know that everyone's seen the commercials of Walmart and how those are our frontline workers cleaning those stations. You know, the guy cleaning the train, Jonathan Taylor, worked right over here in the Carrollton Yard, one of our members. So, you know, our bus operators, our station managers, those are our frontline workers.
Yeah. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tara, calling from Washington, D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, yes. I actually would like to kind of just add to what President Jackson said. I think it's a shame that the district actually, the DMV as a whole, is not doing more to support the public transit operators. There are essential workers that stood in the gap and are continuing to stand in the gap to transport other essential workers back and forth to work. And you're laying off people by saying that you can't fund it. And my question is, what happened to the COVID-19 CARES Act funding and the money that all three of the district's communities got to support such a thing as this and transportation? So I just would like to know and like to put that on people's minds. Where did that money go so quickly? What was it used for? Why aren't we demanding more information as far as that is concerned? Because even if they passed the act that they tried to pass today, it would be the same thing. So what is being done with the funding, and why aren't there being more creative ways and proactive ways to try to maintain the funding for public transit operators?
I think that's such an excellent question. Mr. Costa, you want to start, and then Mr. Jackson, you can jump in.
Go ahead, Ray.
I would love to. That's probably a question for me, so I can say this. You know, that is a great question. I'm in the process right now. My financial treasurer, Mr. Keith Bullock, that's his biggest pet peeve. Matt, we had a conversation this morning. Ray, where did the money go? So I'm setting up a meeting. We're in the process of getting a meeting. We've been trying to get it with WMATA and Dennis Anazeki, the chief financial officer, just so that we can take a look at the books, just so that we can see where this money went and how it was spent.
Mm-hmm. That, and I think to that point, and I don't know whether or not Tara heard the, you know, the top of the program, but that was one of the issues that came up in the bill that Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell rejected, that bipartisan bill, the $908 billion. It was called a bridge bill. That's what a Democratic senator from Virginia, Mark Warner, called it, a bridge bill. It was bipartisan, and this was something that they believed could get done with some $15 billion dollars in transportation aid. Now, $15 billion, I'm sure, Mr. Costa, in the grand scheme of all of the transportation woes that are going on in the nation, it really is a drop in the bucket, but it may have done something for the likes of Metro, don't you think?
Yes. Yeah. The CARES Act carried us over. It was important to have that money so we wouldn't have overcrowding on the equipment, either that being trains, buses, or light rail. It kept the service on and not cutting the service. Look, if you cut the service, you're going to have more overcrowding. If you cut the service, it's going to take, you know, let's face it, a lot of poor people take the service. D.C. is probably one of the biggest tourist areas in the world. Weekends, you know, they're going to need people to come in and clean the floors and clean the bathrooms and operate. That's going to take people a lot longer to get to work. If you cut service, it's longer connections, it's longer time, so therefore do they even come to work? The CARES Act and the money that was given saved lives and kept the economy going. If not, it would be worse. We had more sick. We've lost 94 of our members to this pandemic, and thousands were infected, and to this day are still, and it's growing, and my fear is more are going to pass. And by cutting the service, all we're doing is putting our members in danger and the riding public in danger. So, yes, any money that they would give us would help. And that's why I said this was shameful, that they didn't give us anything, and they're still sitting around. And I believe this is all politics because of the Georgia race, and it's a shame.
Why do you say that?
Excuse me?
Why do you say that you believe that this is politics tied to the Georgia Senate races?
I just feel that that the Republicans are the ones that are holding this up. It's definitely not the Democrats, and I think it's just a power play.
Do you agree with that, Mr. Jackson? Do you believe that there are politics involved here?
I'll tell you what I tell my members all the time. You know, I've been with the authority for 30-plus years. You know, like most in this region, I'm a registered Democrat. But my political beliefs don't have anything to do with my job. And I'm for anybody that's for transit. I'm for anybody that's for unions. And yes, I do believe that we are in the middle of a political fight. And it's a shame that these people in the Senate, because that's where the problem lies, if we're going to speak truthfully, they're holding this entire country hostage over party affiliation. When will it, one nation? And I wholeheartedly agree with President Costa that it's nothing but politics, and we're being used as pawns in the middle of this political fight. I mean, it's a shame that I can tell you my members come to work every day scared. They go home every day scared. And then you're talking about laying them off when every day that they go home is a chance that they're going to infect not only them being infected, but one of their loved ones. So, it's a shame that we're caught up in these politics as workers in the United States.
From your perspective, Mr. Jackson, just like everyone, whether it be the schools, governments, private industry, and transportation systems, we were all kind of thrown into this pandemic situation back in February and March, and it was, again, it was very frightening. Things happened very quickly. But now here we are in November. Do you believe that WMATA is doing everything that it possibly can to keep the workers safe, be they on the bus, whether they are station managers or subway operators and everyone in between? And if so, why or why not?
I believe that we can do better. I think that one of the proposals, and I'll be having a conversation, matter of fact, Paul Wiederfield and I try to meet at least once a month and sit down and talk. the day would have been that day, but I had some things come up. We moved it back to next week. I do have a problem with, you know, and here it is again. My main concern, my main goal is to try and keep my members as safe as possible. With the authority, one of the proposals is to go back to collecting fare in January, which means we're going back to someone that may or may not be infected. But if you look at the infection rates in this region, you will have to assume that some of the people getting up on the bus or walking past our station managers or riding our trains may be infected. And the authority is doing everything they can to keep the system clean. But to go back to collecting the fares, and I know, you know, because of the financial strain, I don't think that this fare collection on the bus is worth putting your workers' life in danger.
I want to talk a little bit more about that on the other side of the break. We are talking about Metro and a proposal for some very, very severe cuts. Leroy calling from Washington. We're going to talk to you after the break. Please stay with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about the proposed cuts to DC's Metro system. We're talking to John Costa, International President of the Amalgamated Transit Union, and Ray Jackson, President and Business Agent of Local 689 of the Amalgamated Transit Union in the DMV. Let's go back to the phone lines. Leroy calling from Washington, D.C. Thanks for calling, Leroy. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'd like to blame Metro for mismanagement of their budget, because I complained about some calls that they made. One was when Metro decided to run full weekday service on the Metro's bus on federal holidays. That's a Columbus Veterans Presidential and Martin Luther King Day.
Mm-hmm.
And second, I'm complain about Metro running late night service on Christmas Day and New Year's Day, which is a federal holiday, on Fridays. I complain about that. And Metro went on and operate on weekday service on Christmas Day and New Year's Day. They did not recognize that as a federal holiday.
Hmm. Well, let me ask, you know, Mr. Jackson, because I think Leroy makes an interesting point that we've always seen over the years. There've been some, you know, some changes in the way, you know, scheduling has moved around. You know, when there are game nights, like you said, you know, with, you know, for example, you know, Washington, you know, before they, you know, they changed the name, and you can correct me if I'm not right about this, but it's my understanding that they were contributing to, you know, financially to help support those late nights, for example, or if something else was happening in the district, there were some contributions happening. But I guess my point is there may have to be some concessions that, you know, that are made moving forward and until this pandemic is over. What concessions might you think there would have to be from, you know, your constituents to help keep Metro afloat?
So let me answer this one, Earl.
Mm-hmm.
And I say again, I think we have made the greatest concession of all times, because every morning, I mean, as station managers, train operators, bus operators, custodians, I mean, we do it all.
Yeah.
But every day we come to work, like most of the essential workers, and we put our life on the line every day for this invisible virus that has killed more than 200 something Americans thus far. We put our family lives on the line. I mean, I think that that's the greatest concession we can give. We put our life on the line every day for this region. No bus operator, train operator, or what have you, station manager. You know, we knew what we were signing up for, but we never thought that we were signing up for this, meaning that when you sign up to go into the military, you know it's a chance that you may be going into war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, no one's seen this coming. But that's like the greatest concession we can make. You know, and we do get paid for our services, but we do provide the service. And yes, when the Washington football team do something, they may give the authority a little bit more money for operating the late night service. But it's the workers that is providing that service, you know. And it's the workers that's out there every day in this pandemic. But now I can tell you, so the authority don't get the calls that the union get. Every day we get calls from our workers. They scared to death.
Mm-hmm.
And every day they show up to work.
Yeah. Good point. Leroy, thank you so much for your phone call. You mentioned something earlier about fare takers on the buses. I haven't been on a Metro bus in decades. And so talk, what does that mean exactly? How is it done? And so, why is that so much more dangerous?
Right now, the CARES Act has really been, you know, the, like President Costa said, I'm an asking President Costa, the CARES Act has really been helping us get over, you know. So we have not collected fare on the Metro bus. We've been doing rear door boarding so that our workers can stay safe. We have
a
chain, like just past the handicapped seat. And the only time our operators really have to do anything with the passengers is we get a handicapped passenger and we need to assist them in getting on and off the bus. So for the most part, we keep our operators socially distanced from the rest of the passengers. And if you look at the CDC guidelines, this stuff is airborne. So it's still, you know, floating around in the air in the bus. But the authority has, in one of their proposals, is getting ready to go back to front door boarding, which means that everyone who gets on that bus, so if I'm operating, let's say the X2, I may have 200-300 people walk past me in the trip, getting on and off the bus. That's 200-300 people that the operator is now exposed to. And then when you go down to our stations, you know, for as many people who ride the train walk past the station manager.
I see. So in the handful of minutes that I have left, and this is for both of you, I'll start with Mr. Costa. What do you believe is, you know, the end game for making sure that transportation systems like Metro and others continue to survive short of the, you know, a perfect vaccine or the coronavirus going away?
Government has to fund it. We don't have this problem when we're making tanks and bombs and, you know, ships to have war. No problem here. You know, we have no budget crisis there. But yet a service that, you know, our communities rely on, our economy relies on in our cities, we're having this conversation. Makes no sense. It's a government service. Actually, it should be free. As we said, the CARES Act saved lives. And what happened today by not giving us money, and you're hearing what Ray's saying, that Paul Wiederfeld's talking about going back to front door boarding so they can start collecting fares, ridiculous. So needs to be funded. Government should fund it. That's what it's there for. Privates, giving it to the privates, they suck it dry, they ruin it, and then what happens? They walk away from it. When Wall Street falls, what happens to the transit? They walk away. There's no profit in it, so they leave it. And once again, government picks it up, and it's us, the taxpayers, that have to fix it. So they need to fund it. They need, like I said earlier, to change the regs. It's time that we make this transit system safe for our riders and to build our cities to come back and, like, what is it? Build back better.
Yes, sir.
And finally for you, Mr. Jackson, what do you believe is the end game? And when you meet with Mr. Wiedefeld next, what are you going to tell him?
One, I mean, we're going to have to discuss going back to collecting the fare. That's number one on my list of things to talk about for the most part. You know, I like to keep those conversations private between him, his people, and my members without, you know, putting too much out in the public. But for everything else, I wholeheartedly agree with President, International President Costa. You know, I think that the party politics have to stop. You're playing with the working people of this country lives now, you know. And not just for transit workers, but workers as a whole. You know, I heard something today where the building trade unions are starting to see a slowdown in what they do. I mean, that's at some point, this country is a great country. It's going to find the right cure for this pandemic, and we're going to have to open up. So I think that we should be doing everything we can to keep people employed, moving, working, and helping when they can with this economy. You know, I mean, I'm looking at some of the stock markets, and we're not really doing too bad.
Yeah.
But don't just quit on us. And I'm feeling like they are quitting on the working class people.
Well, we will continue to watch this and see how this goes. And certainly we also are hoping that all of the workers from, you know, custodians, bus operators, subway operators, station managers, everyone is able to stay safe while we move through this process. John Costa, Ray Jackson, thank you both for spending some time with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you. We move this city.
Indeed so. That is the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, December 1st. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night.